sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, week two of the new extended hours.
Why do you always start the show with like 10 bells? Like, what's going on? Why do you want to start off sad?
A, you're an idiot.
Why am I an idiot? Because I don't know. You didn't say anything. You just rang the bells.
What does 10 bells mean?
Somebody died.
Somebody died. And I'm very selective.
Of military stature?
I'm very selective of who warrants the 10 bell salute.
Okay,
so 10 bell salute, you know, is in the combat world, is in, the fight world. It's for many reasons. It's for military. It's for all that,
too. In the military, 21 gun salute?
Correct. So I'm going to let you tell me who passed away by saying one thing and one thing only.
Okay.
This WWE legend was the greatest heel in the history of professional wrestling.
Heel.
You know what a heel is?
Yeah, the bad guy.
The bad guy.
That's what I am. I'm a heel.
No.
On this network.
No.
I'm a heel in my household.
So who, in your opinion, was and can never, ever be topped? You know, records are meant to be broken.
Sure.
All right. I don't know of anybody.
Was he always a heel?
I believe he was, yes.
So he never was like a baby face or a...
I know the difference.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, because Hogan turned.
Right.
That was just like a short period.
Which was awesome. And we talked about it, you know, with Jerry Briscoe. When Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan, turned, it was unbelievable. And people said that was one of the biggest moments in the history of professional wrestling.
No question.
I'm going to help you out.
Okay.
The biggest heel, in my opinion. I mean, it's not gospel. It's just in my opinion. One of his numerous feuds was with Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Now, Hulk Hogan came out to what? What was his music?
Yeah, American.
Real American.
Real American. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to help you here. This guy was not an American. This was in the 80s.
Not an American.
All right, this is taking longer than it should have.
Hold on. Not an American. Who was an American? The guy with the curly shoes.
The Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik passed away this morning.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
And what ironic, I just watched a documentary yesterday or the day before.
What?
You know, talking about his background from Iran and that he was kind of involved with the high up politicals and then he came for a better life and became, I was going to attempt to pronounce his name, but I can't.
Wow.
So yeah, the Iron Sheik.
No
who was
way.
One of his biggest rivals, obviously. Was yeah. Hulk Hogan. It was the 80s. It was, you know, the war
era.
That was going on.
That's a golden era.
And so, you know, he was the Iron Sheik. And when he won the WWF title, I mean, and again, he was the biggest heel ever.
Wow.
Because it's in America.
Yeah.
And Iranian.
Yeah.
Very vocal on Twitter as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, I don't have a problem saying what's on my mind?
Really?
The Iron Sheik didn't care.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
man, that does make me sad. Now I'm not in a good mood.
And it's not that I want to bring you down because I really don't care. I don't want to bring down the public. I don't want to bring down myself. But it's a form of respect, you know, when you do that.
But can you do it at the end of the show so you can ride off on sadness, not open with sadness?
Didn't we talk about this not too long ago? Oh, when we had MMA bobblehead.
Now we got to build back up to like happy.
We'll build it back up real quickly.
I'm happy that Steve Lanay is back from the road.
Steve Lanay is back, but let's run down the schedule. Coming up momentarily, last night's, and what a great episode again. Episode 2 of The Ultimate Fighter. Cody Gibson will be on. I found this in the garbage. I don't know if you noticed it yet.
Yeah,
so that's our boy. We have a little stand up of the 0-2.
You found it in the garbage?
I found it in the garbage at Winn-Dixie.
Why?
A while ago.
Why would you throw out like a great Conor McGregor poster?
Because. So, Cody Gibson, the stand up of Conor McGregor, he's 0-2, 2 weeks into the episode. You ready for this one? You're probably too young. You know who Alan Funt was?
Yeah.
Who was Alan Funt?
Candid Camera.
Candid Camera.
The original like YouTube sensation.
Exactly.
Like, he used to do pranks on the street, and I just record it.
Do you know who took over Candid Camera after Alan Funt?
Probably the guy Drew Carrier.
His son, Peter Funt.
Oh, Peter Funt.
Who will be on the program today.
Oh, what?
Coming up at the bottom of the hour.
I mean, if you think about it, those guys pioneered this whole social media, TikTok, public prank.
Absolutely.
So I wonder their take on all that.
Our weekly correspondent on this season's Ultimate Fighter, Jason Knight. Nice. Class move by Jason last night. Well, again, it wasn't last night. It was shown last night. So we will talk about that with him 45 after the hour-ish.
Okay.
Hour two, Mike Malott fights this weekend in old Canada. He will be on. Dan Ige will be on. And then your main event Friday in, where are they? Montana.
Montana.
Something Falls.
Great Falls.
Great Falls.
Great
is that what
Falls,
it is?
Montana.
Your main event, Kai Stewart, Hefty Bag, will be on in hour number three. So a lot of cool stuff to get to, a lot of things to get off my mind. How about a pet peeve right out of the blocks?
Well, might as well. You already got the show at the bottom.
So, you know, I've been with a lot, obviously, of celebrities and athletes, and, you know, we're hanging out, and somebody would always come and say, hey, I hate to bother you, but will you sign this? And, you know, we always joke, you hate to bother, but you're bothering.
Yeah.
Just come in and say, hey, will you sign this? Hey, Bob. Hey, Stan. Why do you say, hey, I hate to bother you, but I'm going to bother you?
Courtesy.
It's courteous to then be uncourteous.
Right. Courteous to like pretend like you care.
Yeah. That just happened.
You got to play the act.
That just happened to me this morning.
Really?
Yeah. And I was on my best behavior.
Whose autograph did you ask for?
I didn't ask for anybody's autograph.
I thought you were talking about yourself.
Ironically, I was at the bank to set up a new wire transfer.
Okay.
As we have a new sponsor on the program.
We do.
Pretty excited about it.
Are you announcing
it? Yep, okay. Bucked up. As a matter of fact, we are going to be giving away some UFC tickets for Jacksonville, June 24th. And the first pair that we're going to give away, the word is bucked up. So you have until Sunday to either tweet it.
Okay.
Obviously, you have to tag Knockout Radio. Mention Bucked Up.
Yep.
I don't care how you do it.
Bucked Up Energy Drink.
You can do it on Facebook, however you want to. I'm already getting people, like, already saying it. That's pretty quick.
And it's great. Like, the Bucked Up is great because I had it in Denver.
Here's what I like about Bucked Up. Okay? Don't mean to interrupt, but I am.
Yeah.
When I spoke to the CEO, founder, the whole nine yards, we talked about it. And when I said that we're going to provide the energy drink and some of the other products to the athletes, he was quick to say that there's some we will send to them and some we won't send to them because there's some that have the deer antler in the product, which could be, you know, a negative test. So we're going to be very careful which ones go to athletes.
Oh, you mean the chemicals in the energy drink could pop on a soda test?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's
which is crazy because anything you take nowadays could. If you're searching for a blood test, you can find something. You have to be searching for
it. Remember the female UFC fighter that popped positive? She was at a party, and she didn't smoke marijuana.
Right.
They were smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
She breathed it in, and allegedly. That's all we know is alleged.
Sure.
So that's a pet peeve. Another pet peeve is what happened with Jared Gordon. A pet peeve of Jared Gordon and Jared Gordon's team. You know, we're big Jared Gordon guys. Well, at the media day, you know, as we were doing the interview, he mentions that about a concussion that he had in a fight.
Yeah.
So they questioned, well, did you get cleared? He goes, yeah, I cleared myself. At least I think that's what he said.
Okay.
You can't clear yourself.
It's not the right answer.
According to Dana, you're not a doctor.
It's not the right answer.
So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, I want to be careful because I do want to broadcast from the PGA Golf Show again next year.
Oh.
What a bunch of donkeys.
Whoa, easy.
You know what happened?
Yeah, the LIV.
They banned
the
golfers that went to LIV, who obviously went for the money.
Correct.
And I've always said, go for the money. It's all about the money.
And they did it because it was backed by the Saudi Arabia,
right,
and 9/11 and the money that backed the terrorism.
And the treatment of females and a lot of stuff.
And the journalists that came up missing. And, you know, so now they're one. PGA and LIV are all together.
See, money talks. But they didn't want the golfers to go get the money.
Right. They wanted to get the money.
They went and got the money. All right. Final pet peeve, and then we're going to hit a break and then reach out to Cody Gibson. You is a pet peeve.
I'm not a pet peeve.
You are one of my pet peeves.
Why is that?
Why do you wait until Wednesday night, Thursday morning to bring in Diet Cokes?
Well, because I wait for you to leave.
That's what I'm saying. So that's a pet peeve. Well, it doesn't matter if you have a reason for it, and it doesn't matter if I like or dislike the reason.
Yeah.
It's just, when I used to bring my own, you'd have them. Now I don't bring my own.
Well, because every time I bring them, you forget your money. So it's better not to have them.
No, I don't forget it.
You just don't offer.
I just don't offer.
Excuse me, but would you mind paying for that?
No.
Is that an inconvenience to you?
I don't mean to bother you, yeah. But no. All right, let's go hit our first break. When we come back, last night's winner of episode number 2 on season 31. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Steps Up.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Jesus Schuster, man. Shout out to Knockout Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Saturday, June 24th, the UFC returns to Jacksonville. The heavy-handed Josh Emmett looks to turn back undefeated phenom Ilia Topuria, plus dangerous Brazilian Amanda Ribas. Takes on the future Macy Barber. Don't miss UFC Fight Night. Emmett versus Topuria, live from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
Extended times 1-4. Last night, episode 2,
yes.
Season 31.
31, all right.
Of The Ultimate Fighter. So this will be my 32nd season. Obviously, I didn't go and cover Brazil and when it was in Canada. But let's welcome to the program this week's winner from last night, Cody Gibson. Cody, how are you?
Doing good. Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, we appreciate your time. Obviously, we're only talking up through last night's episode. But before we talk about the episode, tell us, how did you get the phone call? How did you prepare to be on this season's Ultimate Fighter?
They actually reached out to me, interestingly enough, on my Instagram, because I had just switched managers, so they didn't know who to contact. So that's how they contacted me, and they said they wanted to interview me for the show. And originally, they told me I didn't make it on the show, so I was kind of bummed out. And then about a week later, my manager called me and said, "Never mind, they want you on the show." So we didn't have a lot of time to prepare, only a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we had to head out. So kind of like almost like a short notice fight, but jumped on the opportunity, and next thing I knew, I was in Vegas.
When you started preparing, and not necessarily, you know, gym-wise, getting in shape-wise, did you watch any of the old seasons? Did you, you know, pick somebody's brain as to what to be prepared for and, you know, how to handle getting into the house?
Yeah, I watched a lot of the seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, so I had a pretty, you know, good idea of what the show was all about, but I hadn't watched it in a few years, so I went back and watched the last season just to kind of, it was interesting to watch it from a perspective of not just entertainment, but looking at little things, like little things can I pick up from watching this that might help me when I go into the house, and so I watched that last season, and then I reached out to a guy by the name of Chris Holdsworth, who won the season years ago. I was almost on that season many years ago. I was an alternate that didn't end up getting on. But he won the show, so I reached out to him. He has a gym up in Sacramento. He's a jiu-jitsu coach for Team Alpha Male. And just asked him his advice, and he gave me some pretty good advice that I tried to kind of use throughout the show, as far as, like, wanting to fight early if possible. If it's, you know, if the coaches ask who's ready to fight, you know, being able to say, I'll be the first fight, I'll fight as soon as I can, because then you get a little bit more time to rest between the next one. So just little strategies like that that I took from him and were able to apply.
Were you told how important it is to get into the house first or early to get a good bed selection?
That's funny that you said that, because every time I've watched that show, I see the guys pile out of the vans when they arrive at the house, and they all run in like giddy kids at a candy store. And I told my wife, I'm not going to be that guy. And so I was the last one in the house, and I didn't even go to find a room. I walked around the house for like 15 minutes, and then I was like, I was just wherever I land, you know. I was kind of a couch surfer most of college, so I'm not, you know, not very high maintenance by any means, and anyway, it was a big regret, because I ended up with a top bunk and a crappy bed and not the best bed. And there was only a curtain. That was the only noise cancellation. The room that was left for the top bunk was right next to the living room and the kitchen, where everybody kind of congregated. So in retrospect, I wish I would have ran in there looking like a fool, but I kind of held to what I told myself I wouldn't do, I guess.
Absolutely. And it's one of the first things every single person that's ever been on the show has told us, all the way back to season one. They either did it or they regretted not doing it. Oh, well,
yeah.
You can't go back in time, right?
No. Yeah. I can't say much, but that part of the story of my bed and everything else, it's going to unfold this season, and it gets pretty interesting.
Very cool. All right, so now let's talk about last night's episode. And I kind of got thrown, just like I'm sure everybody else did, because episode one, it showed, you know, who the next fight was, which in years past you would only know next week's. Well, we all know what's going to happen. Next thing we know, you are going to fight. How much time did you have to prepare for the fight once you found out, you know, that the scheduled fight, there was an incident, medical incident, and that you were next going to be in the octagon?
I mean, that's the magic of TV. You know, they're obviously Trevor and Timber's fight did get postponed, but I was actually always the second fight, and they had multiple fights in a single day, and then they just span that out over the course of the episode. So I knew it, that whole part of the story didn't quite happen like that in real life, but I mean, that they definitely did get postponed and all that, but it wasn't like a situation where suddenly I was thrust into a fight that I wasn't anticipating coming or anything.
It's definitely the beauty of filming. We had Michael Chandler on before the episode started, and we talked about that, and he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I know how things are going to happen, but I'm going to have my podcast right after to explain. And in the first episode, there was things that he had to explain because of cut, edit, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of things still to get to. We're going to try to get to them all as quickly as possible. Talk to us about the training. You're new, you know, with this new group of coaches, one former friend of mine who did a whole season on the radio with us when he won The Ultimate Fighter. How quickly do you kind of bond with these guys as your new quote-unquote coaches, and how did the first couple days of training with these guys go?
Yeah, I really didn't have very, very many expectations going into it that I was going to, you know, feel like I was on a team, or even that the coaches were, you know, you're going to have a lot of time. I know what it's like to be in the moments of in the weeks before a fight. You know, you're pretty dialed in, and you know, you're not doing like really hard training usually. If you're like a week out from a fight, you know, you're kind of tapering down. But I was surprised, you know, Chandler and the whole coaching staff that he brought were just amazing, man. They honestly went above and beyond for us, and you know, just were always in our corner, whether it was in the fight or cutting weight or whatever the case be. They, you know, not only did we learn a lot of little, like just little things from them here and there, but they kept a positive kind of mentality, and environment. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess it was a lot more than I anticipated. And, you know, the guys on our team being all veterans, I think we all kind of have that common thing about us, and we all know what it's like. And so, you know, I think that kind of helped us bond, and we really did in a very short amount of time form a real connection as a team between the coaches and athletes. And, you know, we're all in a group chat still talking about it, and just how crazy of an experience it really was. And, you know, you get home from the whole thing and you kind of, it almost feels like a dream, you know, I mean, a really long one, but that's kind of the feeling I get when I think and I reminisce about it now.
Next to the fight itself, my best portion of last night's episode is when you were talking about your previous UFC experience, and you go, yeah, my first fight was against some guy named Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah, I kind of said that jokingly, but I don't know if it came off the right way.
It did. No, it did. And that's how I took it. It was like as a joke because, you know, we all know where Sterling is now. And so that's why I'm saying I enjoyed when you said that.
Nice.
So, I mean, obviously having those relationships with people that are in the house and in the current season is huge, but being a school teacher, you know, do you like channel like, you know, the Rich Franklin era? Like, you know, for me going into the UFC as a fan, I remember thinking, man, this guy's a school teacher, but he's like living out his dream. And he's like, and it's possible to become a professional athlete and champion. And so do you look back at some of those guys that do the same thing that you do?
Yeah, I definitely drew inspiration from Rich back in the day. I've been in education for even before I was a full-time teacher. I was a substitute, and I've been coaching pretty much since I got out of college in 2010. So I've always been around kind of, you know, young men and young women, and you know, as a coach and a teacher. So definitely drew inspiration from guys like Rich, but you just kind of get used to the lifestyle. You know, you get up before work and you go to the gym, and then, sorry, that's the bell ringing right now, actually. And then, you know, you go work all day and then you go do it again after work, and you kind of get used to it over the years. But, and at the end of the day, like, what are we trying to do as educators, right? We're trying to get kids to, at least I am, trying to get kids to pursue the things in life that make them happy and they're passionate about, and just, in my case, it just so happens to be punching people in the face. But whatever your avenue is, you know, I want you to pursue it to the fullest, just like I'm kind of doing it. So being able to kind of not just say it, but actually show them and do it, I think goes a long way with them.
I know we've got to end this. You've got to get back to work. I'm curious, do you have the stickers like that were out when Rich was fighting? My teacher can kick your teacher's, you know, rear.
Nah, it's funny because I'm just my personality. I'm not really it's just kind of if you didn't know anything about MMA or what I did outside of these walls and this school, I think people would be pretty surprised because it's not really me, you know.
And as you say that, and we'll end on this, you also mentioned that you trained at the Pit. I know John very well. Chuck is one of my closest friends on the planet. And, that's the way they are, too. I mean, granted, Chuck looks different and, the intimidating look, but the same thing with Chuck. If you didn't know and you could kind of block out, if it was the voice for MMA and you couldn't see him, you would think the same thing about Chuck.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think especially the longer you do this and the more humbled you kind of get, in the gym, kind of changes your perspective on things, and there's always a dog out there who could take you out. So
absolutely. Cody, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a package from Buck Up Energy Drink. And hopefully we can talk to you again before the season's over.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on all the way out in Tampa. So I'm looking forward to hearing it. Take care, guys.
We will talk again. That is awesome. Cody Gibson, 2-0 team, Cody Gibson team, Michael Chandler, 2-0 against the guy that we took, took out of the garbage.
Are you surprised about?
I'm really not.
Because these guys have experience. They're veterans. They got a second chance at pursuing their dream and keeping it alive.
The potential or the whatever word they were using for the other side guys, it's like, well, they were there and they couldn't stay there. No. Like last week with Roberts, the fact that they took it for granted. Now they've known what they've lost.
Sure.
I would much rather be on team veterans for sure. All right, let's go get a quick break. Little candid camera action when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
And you're talking sports with Randy, the best in the world cares.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Buckle up!
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship returns to Omaha at Liberty First Credit Union Arena Friday, May 19th. In the main event, your undefeated hometown star, Houston the Assassin Alexander, throws down with the always dangerous Jeremy Pitbull Smith. Also, see Dakota Cochran fight Noah Cutter, Sean P-Town Wilson versus Brandon Meyer, Jade Wong versus Taylor Killer B. Starling, and many more Bare Knuckle Fights. Get your tickets now at bkfc.com.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life,
If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tommy Lasorda, and you're talking sports with the great Randy Harris.
That was a legend right there. Now, okay. So I know what it's like to grow up in your house. And, yeah, I do. And I know how difficult it is to grow up in my house. Ask my son and daughter. Our next guest, let's find out how difficult it was growing up in his house. Let's welcome to the program, Peter Funt. Peter, how are you, sir?
Hey, Randy. Nice to talk to you. I'm laughing already because that's probably the single biggest misconception about the Funt family and my youth. Everybody would have thought that Alan Funt, the guy who invented candid camera and who was my dad, was a practical joker by nature, and that, you know, therefore at the dinner table we must have had whoopee cushions and dribble glasses and every kind of prank you could think of. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. My dad was not a practical joker. He was actually a pretty serious student of human nature. And for him, candid camera was a means toward an end. And the end was to watch people, study how they react to unusual situations, and ultimately share some smiles, which he was very good at, with millions and millions of TV viewers.
Well, and kind of what I was saying, not necessarily about pranks, but like in our family, a case in point, when my dad passed away a couple of years ago, and I had to go to the funeral home and get the urn of, he was cremated, yeah. He was a veteran and was getting buried in the VA, I put a note on the door, don't forget dad. Well, I wasn't saying we're not going to forget dad. I meant literally, don't forget taking the urn, don't forget dad, taking them to the funeral. They're the kind of things that I could picture in your house, the words like that.
Well, you're pretty close. I mean, I scattered my dad's ashes, if you want a literal answer to your comment. I scattered my dad's ashes on the top of a mountain near the ranch, on the property of the ranch he owned in California. And I did it with a little ceremony with a few family members. And I was proud of how I was handling it. And at just the right moment, I took this handful of ashes and threw them up in the air as a sweeping gesture. And I misjudged the wind, and all my dad's ashes blew right back in my face. And I started laughing uncontrollably because I thought, my goodness, this is a prank my father would have loved. So that's my own ashes story.
That's awesome. So, Peter, I mean, obviously, you guys started this whole public, you know, social media pranks we see on TikTok and the evolution of social media.
Yeah.
And these kids these days get out of hand. I just saw one where a kid abandoned a plane and crashed it on purpose, and he's facing now federal charges. You know, was there anything that ever got out of hand for your dad or for you filming any of these pranks that you guys did?
Well, don't forget, his goal and mine in his footsteps was to not let things get out of hand. I mean, we prided ourselves in taking people's temperature and not going too far because our goal was not to aggravate people. It was to celebrate human nature and good sportsmanship. Now, if you do enough of these, as I have during my life, invariably a few things go wrong. I was sued once by a guy who, just before 9/11, I built a prop and put it at the airport in Bullhead City, and I played the part of the security guard, and I told people they had to go through the conveyor belt of the X-ray machine on their stomach on a conveyor belt so I could check them for, you know, weapons or something. And it was quite funny, and not to my surprise, many people cooperated and did it, but one guy kind of pinched his thigh getting off the conveyor belt, and he said he was fine, and he said he was a fan, and he was very nice about it, but once he got home, he found a lawyer, and the lawyer thought this was a good opportunity, so they sued us. And I made a terrible mistake, according to all my friends in Hollywood. What I should have done, they said, was settle with the guy, because the last thing you want to do is have a public trial where basically reality television is on trial. And I said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to go through with the trial. And then to my horror, Court TV covered the whole thing live. And by the time his lawyers finished, you know, you'd think I'd crashed the very plane you're talking about. I mean, they made a terrible story out of it, and I was humiliated. I lost a judgment in this civil trial, but then won on appeal. So there you go. But no, we tried to be really careful with Candid Camera, and I'm happy to say we're bringing Candid Camera back. I have just partnered up with a wonderful performer, Taraji P. Henson, who's just a great actress and talent. And she's going to be my new on-screen partner for Candid Camera. I can't announce too much more about it right now, but it'll be probably later this year. And I hope, if nothing else, it serves two purposes. One, to please all of our many fans who keep writing to me saying, when are you coming back on TV? And two, to provide a counterpoint to what you were talking about, which is some of the extreme nonsense that we see on TV and social media these days under the guise of pranking. Now, I pride myself as a, you know, equal opportunity person, and I want, you know, I don't want to restrict what people do. But personally, I think some of that stuff goes a bit too far, and I think we have a better approach, so it would be great to get back doing it.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Hopefully, absolutely, we can get you back on before then. Before we let you go, talk about playing POTUS, the power, yeah, of America's acting presidents. Tell us about that.
Well, it's sort of a departure for me, but I hope your listeners will give it a try. It's a book that I wrote the past couple years, a real labor of love, and it just came out this week, actually, in hardcover and paperback. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. But it is called Playing POTUS, POTUS as in President of the United States. And this is a book about the wonderful people in the past 60 years or so who have done impressions of U.S. presidents. So if you're old enough, you might remember Chevy Chase doing Gerald Ford. If you're a little bit younger, maybe Dana Carvey doing George H.W. Bush, or Will Ferrell doing George W. Bush, and Alec Baldwin doing Trump. I mean, all the way up the line. It turns out there are remarkably interesting backstories about how these guys did the character, how many of them went to the White House and were befriended by the sitting president, and then the struggles they had sometimes getting the material on the air. It all makes a terrific story, and I'm so happy to have put it in a book that I'm kind of proud of while I was taking time out from Candid Camera. So I hope that people look for it. It's called Playing POTUS, The Power of America's Acting, as in Pretending, Presidents. And it's out now.
Great title. Final question for you, and I'm going to, yep, let you pick which one to answer. I know you're a baseball guy, so I want to know your thoughts on the ban on the shift. Or I also know you're a golf fan, your thoughts on the PGA now merging with LIV.
Well, I'll give you quick thoughts on both, and they're not unique. I think that it was inevitable that the golf gods would have to get this together because it was going to be way too expensive for everybody if they didn't. But I feel kind of sorry for those golfers who did what I think was the right thing and stayed with the PGA and lost a lot of money in the process. And they'll never get that all back, but I salute them. I think they did the right thing. As for baseball, I am a bit of a traditionalist, so I don't like monkeying with the game too much. You want to make the bases an inch bigger or something, I don't really care. But I don't think you should make rules about where the fielders should play. That gets us closer to little league, not big league. So I'm frankly not in favor of that. But, hey, it's an evolving game, they tell me, and smarter people than I are making the rules. So, but that's my two cents.
As a former employee of the St. Louis Cardinals, I hate that. My theory has always been, if they're going to give me third base, I'm going to learn how to hit to the opposite field down the
third
base.
There you go. Or bunt.
Right, or bunt. The other thing that I say on a regular basis, and I know we have to move on, is I believe at my age I could play Major League Baseball because I could boot the same plays Major League Baseball players are booting, and they're called hits.
Well, you're ahead of me. I play a lot of amateur baseball, and I play in tournaments around the country, but I don't kid myself anymore that I could play, you know, shortstop for the Giants. But I wish I could.
Well, I'm just saying that I can make the same errors the major leaguers are making, and they're not called errors. They're called base hits.
Well, that's true, too. You know, that's a whole story. What is official scoring in Major League Baseball? Because it never really was an official position. It was always a sports writer from the local paper. But at least those guys had a point of pride in getting it right back in the day, or trying to. Nowadays, it's like a flip of a coin. So, yeah, scoring ain't so good either.
So Peter, being a big sports guy, one of the greatest pranks of all time was when I was living in Brazil, Pelé, the soccer legend, dressed up as a pizza delivery guy and would deliver pizzas to people in this as Pelé. And it was great for TV. It was great for camera. So if you ever need a pizza guy in the Tampa Bay area, I'm the guy. And I would love to help you out.
I know you're short on time, but I got to top that. I shot a sequence years ago with the New York Yankees, and I caught some of their players, and one of them was Andy Pettit. You remember him? And the gag was I pretended to be a guy from the commissioner's office, and I was scolding these guys because I said they're rubbing their crotch too much on national television, and it doesn't look good, so they got to stop it. Well, I'm sitting telling this to Andy Pettit alone in a conference room where he thinks we're alone, and his face is turning pale because he's so shocked to hear this. What he doesn't know, and I didn't know till I looked at the footage, is that in the wide shot, our camera could look under the table. And while he's hearing this story, he's furiously rubbing between his legs in nervousness. And I tell you, it's the funniest damn thing. I don't know that he ever lived that down, because we did put it not only on CBS, but for good measure, we did an instant replay in slow motion. So that was the gag.
That is awesome. Peter, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong. And hopefully we can get you back on very, very soon.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
You as well. Bye. Peter Funt, candid
Wholesome
camera
TV
legend.
Back on the airwaves. That's childhood. My childhood.
Very, very cool. All right, let's go hit this real quick break. And then our weekly correspondent from season 31 of The Ultimate Fighter, Jason Knight, when we return.
Like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, If you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Michael is doing some good stuff. So our next guest, the first time I spoke to him, and I'm saying this again on purpose. Well, let's welcome our next guest. He is our weekly correspondent on season 31 of The Ultimate Fighter.
Say it to his face.
Oh, I will. I did. Yeah. Jason Knight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Not too bad. Appreciate your time as always. And I just want to comment on something that I saw on last night's episode. And I know we've talked about this before. You and I had a conversation in Tampa that could have gone really bad for me. And you being you and the professional that you are, it went very, very well. What I saw last night, and I want to say this publicly, you are such a class dude. I mean, for you to reach out to basically your opponent, the other team, even though there really is no team on The Ultimate Fighter, I get that. It's the ultimate is for you to go on and win this. But for you to reach out to the guy who lost on the other team, the Conor McGregor team, and say, keep your head up. And I think that says a lot about you and your character.
Yeah, man, after the fight, Cody gets the knockout, and I'm cheering, raising hill, cheering as loud as I can for Cody, all excited and stuff. And then I look over, and, Mondo, they're both still in the cage. I look over at Mondo, and he's kind of got his head down, like he's down in the dumps. And man, you never want that for a fighter, whether they're your opponent or the opposite team or whatever. We got enough people in this world that are putting us down every time we have a loss. You can be on top of the world 1 minute and then at rock bottom the next. And I can't be one of those guys that helps put someone at rock bottom. So whenever I know that someone's hanging his head, I know that was my first instinct. Hey, man, pick your head up. This is just a step on the way to where you're going. This isn't the final fight. It's never over until you say it's over. So I wanted him to kind of pick his head up and realize, look, dude, I just fought on national TV. I lost, but it's not that bad. I just lived a dream. So that's kind of my mindset. I just wanted to help him realize that it's not the end of the world.
Awesome. And again, class act. Tell us your thoughts, and we talked last week and we're going to talk every week. We're only talking about last night's episode. Tell me your thoughts on the episode. Was there something that wasn't in the episode up to that point that could have, should have, would have been on?
Man, Trevor and Tamora were supposed to fight. And Trevor got a cold sore on his face. I remember that, it happened when we were in the house. And, everybody all excited and ready for the fight. And then, last minute, they come up and they tell us it's not going to happen. So, that was a huge letdown because Tamora, he had already made weight. And, a lot of people don't know how it is, but whenever you're cutting weight, you got 10 pounds or whatever to lose, you're absolutely suffering. And, for both of those guys who have made weight, they suffered all the way through the weight cut, and then all of a sudden they can't fight, and, you know, they're more than likely going to have to, you know, cut that weight again in a week. You know, if the cold sore goes away, then he has to cut the weight again in a week. And, you know, that's a heck of a letdown, you know, to think that everything's about to happen, this moment that you've been waiting for, you're about to have your moment, and all of a sudden it just gets taken away from you because of a cold sore. So that was a heck of a letdown. But, you know, they saved the episode by throwing in Cody and Mondo. So I'm sure we'll get to see some more and Trevor go at it, you know, within the next episode or two.
So Jason, are you still working? Are you on break right now? Is that how you do the show every week?
Man, I've talked to my boss, and, you know, they all know that I fight and everything, so they have no problem with me. It's taking a few minutes coming out and you know, doing the radio show. But yeah, man, I've been working pretty steady here lately because, you know, with everything going on, I can't fight right now. Can't get any sponsors, so I got to keep the money coming in some way.
Well, I just got to say, I love it. I mean, it reminds me of what the UFC started. I remember guys that
MMA.
I mean, guys would, you know, work jobs and then deliver packages and work for UPS. And then on the weekends, they would fight and follow their dreams. And here you are doing the same thing, man. So much respect for that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, man. I had about 2 years that I didn't have to work. You know, whenever I first got in the UFC and I went on my little four-fight win streak, and, you know, I thought that the money was never going to stop coming in. So I didn't work. I did whatever I wanted to do. And then, you know, I got cut from the UFC and reality set in. And I realized, hey, you know, $100,000 isn't that much money. So now I'm back working. And I believe, you know, even if I didn't make it back to the UFC, I believe that, you know, I'll keep a steady job so that way. You know, because I've got three or four different trades that I'm pretty good at, and, you know, I've got a fallback plan. And so I go out there, and something happens, and God forbid I can't fight anymore, I have something to fall back on. And, you know, I've got my foot in the door with a really good company, and if I just cut them off and go back to fighting when I make it back to the UFC and just say that I don't need this job anymore, then, you know, I might lose my first couple UFC fights and get cut again right away, and then all of a sudden I've lost my place with a good company over, you know, fighting. And I just think that, you know, I'll do a lot smarter this time. I can still, you know, put in the work that I need from the gym and, you know, keep money coming in on the side.
So Jason, obviously, you know, I have the same kind of backstory to you. I have multiple talents and trades. I'm a superstar radio personality.
Oh my God, he's none of that.
I'm an expert in martial art
in
coaching.
Nothing.
But before I came on the radio, I was installing Nerf bars on my truck, and I dropped a socket on my eyeball. And, I learned quickly that I'm not very good at torquing a wrench.
Got a lot of things.
But, well, what would you say your number one skill set is that you don't do inside the octagon?
I'm a carpenter by trade. I absolutely love to, you know, build houses, build porches, you know, stuff like that. Anything that I can build with my hands, I love to build it. And, you know, whenever I get done, look back and be like, man, I made that. I made that happen. But other than that, man, I weld a little bit. I'm a pipe fitter. And I don't know if you know what a boilermaker is, but I do that as well. But, you know, I just do anything and everything that I need to do to make sure that the bills are paid, kids are fed, and, you know, I got a roof over their head. So, you know, whatever the job may be, if I don't know how to do it, give me 30 minutes and I'll learn.
Good stuff. Jason, thank you for the time, as always. I have a couple other things I want to talk about. I wrote them down so that we can do it next week. Enjoy the week. Can't wait to talk to you next Wednesday about next week's episode.
All Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on the show. Anyone out there that's listening, if you're not following me, go find my social media and follow me on social media and keep up with Jason Knight, because I promise you after this show, you're going to fall in love with me. Y'all have a good day.
There you go. Awesome. Jason Knight, class guy. I really like him a lot. Top of the hour. And we've talked about why. Top of the hour, let's hit the break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and now Bucked Up Energy Drinks as well.
Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face high